Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, and we'll begin reading in verse 23. Let us hear the word of God. And then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the people living in those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one man, yet he possessed the land. But we are many. Surely the land has been given to us as our possession. Therefore say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says, since you eat meat with the blood still in it, and look to your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword, you do detestable things, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Say this to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. As surely as I live, those who are left in the ruins will fall by the sword. Those out in the country I will give to the wild animals to be devoured. And those in strongholds and caves will die of a plague. I will make the land a desolate waste, and her proud strength will come to an end, and the mountains of Israel will become desolate, so that no one will cross them. And then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolate waste because of all the detestable things that they have done. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you have given to us. We thank you that it's your infallible word and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. And now, O Father, as we come to study your word, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Even though the judgment on Judah and Jerusalem had already started, the people still felt that they could possess the land. Ezekiel told them that they were wrong. Their sins were too great to possess the land, and that judgment would come upon them. Today we think we will always possess this land we live in. We think we will be here forever. Yet we do not realize that we stand on the brink of judgment because of our great sins. Our forefathers were a godly people who respected and reverenced God and chose to follow his laws in this land. Beginning with our pilgrim fathers who were followed by many generations, who still acknowledged God and sought to follow his laws even up to the last century. We put in God we trust on our money. We added the words under God to our pledge of allegiance. All this was done by former generations in this land. These things showed that we did acknowledge God and sought to have our nation continue under him. Many of our laws reflected God's higher moral law, and most state constitutions acknowledge God. Yet today we have come to a new generation of people in this nation who are rapidly casting off this acknowledgement of God and his higher law. We no longer respect his word and have taken the Ten Commandments out of the public sector, putting them in a back room. We are making laws that are directly contrary to God's law, and exulting in our newfound freedom from his law. We have become an immoral people, stamping in the mud the moral values of a previous generation based on God's higher law. We have become a law unto ourselves, and we are doing what is right in our own eyes. And yet we think we can possess the land. That's what the people of Ezekiel's day thought, who lived in the land. Even though judgment had already begun, they thought it was over, and the land would still be theirs, but they were wrong. Today, judgment has already begun on this nation. Yet we think we can still possess the land and go on living any way we like, shirking the laws of God. But we are wrong. Our text for today is Ezekiel 33, verses 23 through 29. Again, let me read. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the people living in those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one man, yet he possessed the land. And we are many. Surely the land has been given to us as our possession. Therefore say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Since you eat meat with the blood still in it, and look to your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You do detestable things. And each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Say this to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. As surely as I live, those who are left in the ruins will fall by the sword. Those out in the country I will give to the wild animals to be devoured, and those in the strongholds and caves will die of a plague. I will make the land a desolate waste, and her proud strength will come to an end, and the mountains of Israel will become desolate so that no one will cross them. And then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolate waste, because of all the detestable things that they have done. Will we continue to possess this land? As God's warning judgments continue to fall upon us, though we do not acknowledge them as such, will we continue to possess the land? Can we cast off the laws of God and replace them with our own laws and think we can continue to possess this land? Can we continue to shake our fist in the face of God with our rebellion and immorality and think we can continue to possess the land? Let's see in the first place that the people thought they could possess the land. Verse 23 again says, Then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the people living in those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one man, yet he possessed the land, but we are many. Surely the land has been given to us as our possession. They thought they deserved the land. Abraham was one man, and God gave him the land. We are many. Why should not God give us this land? Kyle and Dalich write, They relied, like the Jews of the time of Christ, upon their corporal descent from Abraham. Ezekiel, on the other hand, simply reminds them of their own sinful conduct, of the purpose of showing them that they have thereby incurred the loss of this possession. Eating upon the blood is eating flesh in which the blood is still lying, which has not been cleansed from blood, as in Leviticus 19:26 and 1 Samuel 14:32-33, an act of prohibition of which first addressed was stressed to Noah in Genesis 9:4 and is repeatedly urged in the law in Leviticus 7:26-27. This is also the case with the prohibition of idolatry, lifting up the eyes to idols, and the shedding of blood. They thought they deserved the land, but they were wrong. We think we will always possess this land. Our forefathers honored God, and He gave them this land. Subsequent generations continued to honor God, though they were not perfect, but they respected His law. Even as late as the last century, God was still honored in the public sector in this land, and our laws continued to be under God's higher moral law. This can be seen in the old movies and television programs produced in the last century. It was not until later in the century that the entertainment industry in Hollywood began to mock God and rebel almost wholly against Him, so that today most productions coming from Hollywood fail to honor God and rebel clearly against His law. This rebellion against God of the present generation continues with no end in sight. We cannot possess the land based on the morality of our forefathers. If this generation continues to rebel against God, we will lose the land. we will be vomited out, and God will raise up another people who will honor him to possess this land. Matthew Henry writes, a check to this pride, since God's providence did neither humble them nor terrify them, he sends them a message sufficient to do both. First, to humble them, he tells them of the wickedness they still persisted in, which rendered them utterly unworthy to possess this land, and so that they could not expect God should give it to them. They had been followed with one judgment after another, but they had not profited by those means of grace as might be expected. They were still unreformed, and how could they expect that they should possess the land? Shall you possess the land? What? Such wicked people as you are? How shall I put thee among the children and give them a pleasant land? Surely you never reflect upon yourselves, else you would rather wonder that you are in the land of the living than expect to possess the land, for do you know how bad you are? Do we know how bad we are? How can we continue to possess this land? Secondly, they were a wicked people who had disobeyed God's law. Verse 25 says, therefore say to them, this is what the Lord says, since you eat meat with the blood still in it, and look to your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword, you do detestable things, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife, should you then possess the land? They ate blood. First they ate the blood. They did something that God had told them not to do. They ate the blood. John Gill points out that this was a practice of the people who had possessed the land before, and that it was associated with idolatry and sacrifices to devils. He writes, ye eat with the blood, or rather upon or by the blood, contrary to the law in Leviticus 19:26, which is a different law from that in Genesis 9:4, and from that in Leviticus 3:17 and 7:26-27, and refers to an idolatrous practice of the heathens, which these Jews imitated, who, having slain and offered their sacrifices to devils, sat down round about the blood, and their food, or part of their sacrifice, by it. Their eating the blood was a practice of those who worship idols and demons. This was something God had forbidden. Leviticus 19:26 says, do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. This eating of blood was associated with the occult and demon worship. Today we have allowed the occult to permeate our land, whether it's horoscopes, New Age groups, or cults of all sorts. We're worshiping nature and the earth in a way that no earlier generations conceived of. And then they looked to their idols. They were worshiping idols and looking in devotion to them. Matthew Henry writes, idolatry, that covenant-breaking sin, that sin which the jealous God has been in a particular manner provoked by to lay your country waste, is still the sin that most easily besets you and which you have a strong inclination to. You lift up your eyes toward your idols, which is a sign that though perhaps you do not bow your knee to them so much as you have done, yet you set your hearts upon them and hearken after them. And John Gill writes, and lift up your eyes towards your idols, make your devotion and pray unto them, and worship them, and expect help and assistance from them. Today we have become a land full of idols of all sorts. We're bowing down and worshiping our sports idols. We have turned the Sabbath day, which our forefathers honored, into a sports Sunday. We are holding great commercial sports events on a day our ancestors thought was sacred, yet we think nothing of it. We are bowing down and worshiping pleasure. We go on our pleasure cruises and vacation trips thinking that we have a right to all of this, yet we forget God. We bow down to our automobile idols and think we have to have the latest version that television ads continually put before us. We bow down and worship our electronic idols, whether it's the latest big screen TV or the latest smartphone. We have become a nation addicted to its electronics and continually craving for more. We worship our idols, but we have forgotten God. And they shed innocent blood. Matthew Henry writes, "You are as fierce and cruel and barbarous as ever, for you shed blood, innocent blood." John Gill writes, "And shed blood, innocent blood, is the Targum. They were guilty of murder as well as adultery or shedding of blood in sacrifice to idols. We have killed millions and millions of unborn children legally, sanctioned by our laws, and we think we're going to get away with it. Year by year, this slaughter continues, and we have not stopped it. In the name of women's rights, we are committing horrendous evils against future generations. Our schools are witnessing bloodshed unheard of by previous generations. We hear on the news most too frequently of men killing their own families or mothers killing their own children, things which previous generations would be horrified to hear of. We are killing innocent blood, and we will pay the price." And then they relied on the sword. They trusted in themselves and relied on their swords to protect and defend them. Matthew Henry writes, "You confide in your own strength, your own arm, your own bow, and have no dependence or regard to God and His providence. You stand upon your sword. You think to carry all before you and make all your own by force of arms. Here we meet with those who, while they live, think they cannot stand firmly above ground unless they have their swords under their feet, as if swords were both the safest pillows and the strongest pillars, though it was sin that first drew the sword. But blessed be God, there are those who know better, who stand upon support of the divine power and promise and lay their heads in the bosom of divine love, not trusting in their own sword." And John Gill writes, "You stand upon your sword, you trust in it, and think to support yourselves by it, and secure your possession and right of it by that means. Today we think we're the most powerful country in the world. We take pride in our military and our modern weapons. We think we are not vulnerable. We think we are safe. We think we can ward off the enemy. We are a nation of pride. Yet if we continue to rebel against God, can we expect to be safe? They did abominable things and defiled their neighbor's wife. These two things have to do with sexual immorality. They were an immoral people. They were committing abominable things and being unfaithful to their wives. John Gill writes, "You work abomination. That which is abominable to God and not fit to be named among men." Jarchi interprets it of sodomy. The word is in the feminine gender and may be rendered, "Ye women work abomination," referring to that unnatural lust the apostle speaks of in Romans 1:26. Matthew Henry says, "You are guilty of all manner of abominations, and particularly you defile everyone his neighbor's wife, which is an abomination of the first magnitude, and shall you possess the land?" What? Such vile miscreants as you? Note, those cannot expect to possess the land or to enjoy any true comfort or happiness here or hereafter who live in rebellion against the Lord. And John Gill again writes, "And you defile everyone his neighbor's wife, were guilty of adultery, and which was so common that scarce any were free from it, and therefore is charged upon the whole body of them." Today, we have exalted sexual immorality to a level that former generations could not even imagine. From the highest office in the land and on down, we are condoning things that our forefathers would have condemned. We are accepting and honoring same-sex marriage as if it is all okay. Yet it is directly contrary to the law of God. Any nation that honors a lifestyle that God says is wrong will not last. Hollywood continues to pour forth its filth, and we honor them by paying to watch what they produce. We also watch television programs that mock Christianity and God's law and honor sexual immorality. Entertainers fill their dialogues with filth, and we laugh. How can we escape the wrath of God? Thirdly, judgment would come upon them. Verse 27 says, "Say this to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, as surely as I live, those who are left in the ruins will fall by the sword, and those out in the country I will give to the wild animals to be devoured, and those in strongholds and caves will die of a plague, and I will make the land a desolate waste, and her proud strength will come to an end, and the mountains of Israel will become desolate, so that no one will cross them. And then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolate waste, because of all the detestable things they have done." All would come under judgment. No one would escape. Judgment would affect the whole nation. Colin Dalich writes, "Such daring sinners the Lord would destroy wherever they might be. This threat is not to be restricted to the acts of the Chaldeans in the land after the destruction of Jerusalem, but applies to all succeeding times, even the devastation and utter depopulation of the land threatened in verse 28, are not to be taken as referring merely to the time of the Babylonian captivity, but embrace the devastation which accompanied and followed the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans." And Matthew Henry writes, "To terrify them, he tells them of the further judgments God had in store for them, which should make them utterly unable to possess this land, so that they could not stand it out against the enemy. The cause of all this was very bad. It is for all their abominations which they have committed. It is the sin that does all this mischief, that makes nations desolate. Therefore we ought to call it an abomination." And John Gill says, "And shall ye possess the land? Such vile creatures as these, guilty of the abominations for which the land formerly spewed out its ancient inhabitants, the Canaanites, and the present possessors might expect the same, as being very unworthy inheritors of it, whatever high thoughts they might have of themselves." Today, God's warning judgments have already been coming on our nation, though we do not acknowledge them. Awful things happen, and we wonder why. We think our economic woes are going to be healed, yet we do not realize that there is a deeper cause of our woes, and until that deeper cause is healed, our economic woes will continue. And then the land will become desolate. Judgment would come on their land, and the land would vomit them out and become desolate. John Gill writes, "And shall ye possess the land? Can such wretches as you, such gross idolaters and murderers, ever think that you are the children of Abraham and have a right to the inheritance of this land, or shall long continue in the possession of it, living in such abominable iniquities as these?" We're not guaranteed to live in this land forever. God entrusted this land to us. Our forefathers were worthy of that trust, and they honored God in this land. But we, today's generation, are far from God. We have betrayed that trust, and the land can very well vomit us out. After going through a long list of sexual sins, Leviticus 18:24 through 28 tells what will happen to those who commit such sins. It says, "Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled, and so I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you must keep my decrees and my laws. The native-born and the aliens living among you must not do any of these detestable things. For all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. If we continue in our rebellion against God and his moral law, the land will vomit us out, and God is able to raise up another people to possess this land. Know then that the Lord has sent judgment on them because of their sin." Verse 29 says, "Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolate waste because of all the detestable things they have done. When judgment comes upon the people of Judah and Jerusalem, they will know that it was because of their sin. John Gill writes, "Then shall they know that I am the Lord, an omniscient being that could foresee and foretell what would come to pass, and omnipotent, able to do whatever he pleased, and true and faithful to his word, and a sovereign Lord whose will cannot be resisted. This they should see, own, and acknowledge. When I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. For though he is a sovereign Lord, yet he does not execute his judgments in an arbitrary way, merely because it is his will, but because of the abominable sins committed by men, which provoke the eyes of his glory." God is able to bring our sins to an end by sending great judgment upon us, and he's done it before to nations, and he can do it again. If God brings his great judgment upon us, may we know that it was because of our great sins. And may God send his Spirit upon us to know that, to bring us to repentance, that we may once again be a people who honors and acknowledges the Lord. Now, what about you today? Do you know that you are a great sinner and that you need to repent and turn to the Lord? Only in him is forgiveness and restoration. Jesus Christ came that we might be restored to God. And so I call upon you to open your heart to Christ today and receive him, and then follow him as the Lord of your life from this day onward. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Oh, Father, we grieve today because we know that our nation is full of sin. We know that our nation is full of great sin. Oh, Lord, we know that even now you have begun to send your warning judgments upon us. And we know that if we continue in these great sins, that you're going to bring great judgment upon this land. But, oh, Father in heaven, we pray that in the midst of your wrath that you would have mercy. If you choose to bring great judgment upon us, we pray that you will leave a remnant in this land who will repent and turn back to you and honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the Internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Our web address is www.watchmenradio.org. That's WATCHMENradio.org. www.watchmenradio.org.